always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But yeah, aside from that, you know, and we'll see how this starter thing goes. Now let's play out. I guess PJ Washington would be the best case scenario here. Plus Matisse Thybulle. I would also convert Mannion to a parent deal team. And I think that I would be shocked if the Lakers entered the season with 15 guys on their roster. Rob prefers to enter seasons with 14. So if that's your best case scenario, you would since we kind of sort of outlined it already, you would have that as like a B+/A.
With Washington,
yeah.
I think I'd probably have a strong A because I'd be curious to hear it from you, like what stepping back and going back in time to like even pre knowing what LeBron was going to do, like what would have constituted an A, because I think. If you told me before the offseason, the Lakers are going to pull off Walker Kessler, like they're going to lose LeBron, but they're going to pull off Walker Kessler. They're going to lock in PJ Washington as the four of the next few years. And then they're going to rebuild the bench with Grimes, Mamu, and Sexton. I think that's like, again, I think that's five of your top eight guys. And then you're also locking in Austin, keeping him. Like, I don't really know what else they could have done more than that. Like that's where I think that the PJ thing, if it's also like, again, gutting the bench and gutting some of the dead weight at the back end of the roster. If you flip that into a starter, whether it's Kuminga or Washington, DJJ, someone of that general range, although again, I would heavily prefer PJ for the current build, that to me just changes how, because right now, like effectively the Lakers have just swapped pieces, right? Like we could go, you know, LeBron versus Kessler, obviously two different positions, but like that's like the third high salary. Like Austin steps into the highest salary of the non-Luka players. Kessler's making a certain amount and it's like, okay, those are your top three guys. But then you swap in Grimes, Mamu, Sexton for Marcus, Rui, and Luke. You're still having the same depth concerns though. And that's where to me, like if you have the same depth issues that you had last year, maybe Carr pops, maybe Adu pops, whatever, but if you could find a way to turn the back end guys into another high level rotation guy, if not starter, then I start to look at the calculus a bit differently of saying like, it wasn't just four guys in, four guys out. I didn't even mention Jackson. It's like now you are building towards the future and you added a couple of starters. So I think them adding a couple starters long-term was like as realistically optimistic as it could have been. I didn't think they were going to build out the perfect starting group this summer. I didn't really think that was possible. So sure, I'd rather, even if you got Washington, I would still rather have Smart Oubre, no Sexton, having one of those guys start. Grimes is your sixth man. He's actually more in that Sexton role as an off the bench scorer. Mamu's your seventh guy. And then you go find a cheap point guard to play the Sexton role. Like, sure, I would have preferred that. But I think if you walk out of here with Kessler and Washington as locked in long-term starters, you kept Austin, and then you have a revamped younger bench that has a little bit more dynamism offensively. I don't really know if they could have done much more than that realistically, even if we can quibble maybe with the player options, some of the AAV, like sure. But realistically, in terms of like actual action, I think that's about as good as it gets. But what would have constituted an A for you?
Part of this is on execution. I just don't leave with the best feeling about how it went down with LeBron, where like the reporting is that they didn't talk at all. And this was after weeks, according to Ramona Shelburne, of internal dialogue on how to handle this. And apparently they walked away from those weeks of meetings, and how they decided to handle it was to not handle it. Like, I didn't love that. And I think there's a world here where, I mean, clearly they don't currently employ a starting level power forward. There's a world here where the Lakers do the work that they're getting ready to do to try to open up enough room to make a serious offer to Jonathan Kuminga, or to trade for PJ Washington, or to trade for Derrick Jones Jr. There's a world where they have the financial flexibility to bring LeBron back And now that's really cooking with grease, right? Like that's, that team is absolutely overwhelming. So like, to me, if they could have done all of the stuff that they even including, cause I don't love the Sexton signing. Like I've had enough of the 6 foot tall point guards, you know, like great. He slaps the floor defensively, but he's never been a very good defender. So, even counting that, like if they had executed all of this stuff and been able to go back to LeBron and have an open line of communication with him to be like, come on back, man. Like, look at you have a wide open starting gig right here. You can run the second unit. You can do the little things like he did last year. Like that to me would have been an A+. I would have zero complaints, although I would probably find something to complain about anyway. But I would try really, really hard to not complain about that outcome. So to me, that would have been excellent. If they
was that even possible though, right? Like I feel like the writing, I mean, the writing is even more on the wall now in hindsight, but I think if you look at just the way last summer's negotiations played out, the way that I think there was an element even during the season where part of propping up Austin as the number two and reducing LeBron's role to be more of a number three was auditioning for this roster build and seeing how Austin would look as the number two. And so I feel like the role, like I don't think he wanted to come back and be the number three, to say nothing of like the contract stuff. So I agree with you that sure, if you just brought LeBron back with the current group, like that's probably an A+ for me. I just don't know if that, based on the history, based on the way things have been trending the last couple of years, if that was even really possible. And if we just take what's been reported at face value, like they were at least trying to extend the olive branch to a degree to LeBron, maybe not the full degree he wanted, but he wasn't interested in that. So that's where it's like, I don't even know if that was like theoretically, it was technically possible, but I don't know if it actually was in reality that like the two sides were going to come to some agreement.
It's hard for me to look as like a Zoom link as an olive branch, you know, like I just, sure. Well, but that's all kind of baked into the point that I'm making is that like, I wish that they had managed that relationship better so that you could arrive at this summer and have that be a more realistic shot than, because you're absolutely right. Based on everything that has been reported or that you and I have heard after the fact, like that relationship, it almost seems like, I said this to Harrison in yesterday's show, it almost seems like a priority was saying goodbye to LeBron this year. If that's the case, then yeah, I guess what I'm kind of talking about here is managing those relationships better so that you could arrive here. And cause I think this team would have a better shot at a championship with LeBron on it than not. And if that's the point, right, if you're trying to maximize the window that you have with Luka, not just over his prime, but especially over the next couple of years, you know, while you're convincing him to sign another extension in a couple seasons, that to me was kind of the move. But setting that unrealistic outcome aside, like you're saying, if PJ Washington steps into that starting four spot and you know, you walk away from this summer with a solid 8-man rotation, 10-man rotation if you squint and if a couple things go right, I would say that is a very successful offseason. I would consider that A- to B+. And I'm a hard grader. So
that's fair. Like, I guess it also comes down to like how high are you? Like for me, the Kessler grade is like carrying this a lot.
Yeah.
If we're grading each move like the same slice of the pie, my grade would be lower. I think for me, just looking at the current center market, what was out there and what the Lakers needed and his fit, I'm incredibly high on Walker. Like he's been my dream center target for the Lakers for 2 years. I understand the concerns with the contract and you know, for some people and obviously the price, but like this is a dude that I think legitimately next year or within the next couple of years could be top five in the league in field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks. And the list of guys that can do that and impact the way that extent, like it's just very short list. So like I think this is a guy who could be like 16, 12, 2.5 blocks, mid to high 60 shooting, like those types of bigs, and like a legit rim protector, like second lowest rim field goal percentage allowed since he's entered the NBA behind only Chet Holmgren. Like, we're talking about a special level of defensive anchor and rim protector. So I just think for a Luka and Austin team, like the next thing you need was that defensive force, that defensive anchor. Kessler checks that box. You also look at his games played, and I went through it, like, mysteriously the first 3 years, somewhere between 4 to 7 games at the end of each season, he starts to not play for a variety of reasons. Shams. So
the Lakers just signed Kevon Looney.
Okay.
Looks like a minimum 1 year, $3.9 million.
You guys are going to get my live reaction to this. I'm pretty underwhelmed. I think he's fine in a regular season context. I don't think he's a playoff player, and I shudder to think about what he would look like in a series against the Thunder or the Spurs, or if you somehow get past those two teams, like the Knicks in the finals. I don't think he's that. I don't think he's a playoff player, but anymore. Obviously, he had his heyday with the Warriors, but he's also really limited offensively. Like, of all the guys they were looking at, I think he's by far, like, even, you know, Cisse, Nick Richards, Jonas Valanciunas, those guys to me are at least a tier, if not a couple tiers. Low on the rung. I'm not saying those guys are high offensive players, but like compared to Looney, he's basically like he's not a lob threat. He's even a guy that I think can struggle to catch and finish in traffic. He basically needs to be wide open putback, wide open dunk. So it's fine, but it's a clear downgrade from DA or Jackson going to Kevon Looney. Like that's a pretty sizable downgrade.
I was hoping that it would be kind of a more athletic rim runner as their like third backup, especially like
they could still technically really add one more, right? Like,
yeah,
depending on what they do.
Yeah, and like as a project kind of thing, I guess, or on a two way. My concern with Looney is like, yeah, I just don't know how well he's moving anymore. Like he already. It's crazy because he entered the league as like a small forward prospect. Like at UCLA, he played like small forward and then like just got bigger and stronger and slower and became like a center. So one thing I do like about Looney though is that like he's really good at creating extra possessions. Like, and I think if you can help Luka and Austin get more possessions, or this like high powered offense get more possessions, then I think there's real value there. But yeah, I'm nervous that he might be a little washed. I'm going to try to separate him from,
I mean, a New little,
yeah. Well, I'm going to try to like separate him from like the overall New Orleans funk. Like that whole situation there is pretty bad. This is probably one of the more uninspiring options that they had at center.
If you look at like he shot 62% at the 62.5% at the rim this past year. That's a pretty bad number for a big man who's primarily just a catch and finish guy. Rim, what I'll say is like he's been an Iron Man with the exception of this past year and obviously some weirdness with New Orleans, but from 2020 through 2025, he basically missed 8 games or fewer in each of those 5 seasons. So there's like a reliability there. He's still younger than you think. Like if you ask me how old is Kevon Looney, I would say like 32. He's going to be, he just turned 30 in February. So, I mean, it's fine. Like it's better than Valanciunas. To me, Valanciunas is just like
real upset that it wasn't Valanciunas. Like given
you are?
The direction of the rest of the roster. No. It's an upset.
I mean, he just is so bad defensively where he's just food for any like reasonable offense that he's going up against. He's food. Looney's just like, I mean, like for perspective here, look at how Luke Kornet looked in the upper levels of the conference finals. Like he is much better than Kevon Looney. So I'm not, I don't know. It's fine.
Like Yeah, that's where I
like. It's also fine if you're going with the minimum route. I would have hoped that maybe they could have. I mean, really, the only other guy I would say is Nick Richards, right? Like, who else? That I mean, I like Cisse from Dallas. He's just an RFA, so I didn't think that was necessarily possible unless you did like a PJ Washington trade. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this makes me wonder if, like, depending on how things are going with Sexton, if the Lakers eventually just try to trade for an $8 to $10 million center later in the year. We'll see what they wind up doing with the second round picks. But if I had my choice between just keeping Ayton and Looney and 2 second rounders, I think I'd have rather kept Ayton. But
so I'll give you the positives right now. I'm on Dunks and Threes, which has some of the best just like overall advanced metrics, like for their player profiles. So the positive with Kevon Looney, 95th percentile in offensive rebounding, 93rd percentile in defensive rebounding. So elite rebounder, both sides of the ball, 86th percentile in block percentage. So can be a defensive playmaker in that regard. Basically everything else he's below average in, including like overall offensive and defensive EPM, overall EPM, he's in the 30th percentile. So that's like clearly below the threshold you would want for a rotation player on a competitive team. But his true shooting percentage is a third percentile. He had a 45% true shooting percentage and 43% effective field goal percentage, which is fourth. So like, he's as inefficient as it gets among like all players, let alone big man standards. So that's,
yeah,
that's where it's a bit concerning.
Damn, I was hoping you were going to say 20 among games. Centers.
No, it's pretty bad. pretty bad. Like, I mean, I'll say, like, I don't think he's a rotation guy on a championship team. I think he's more of like a third center. So if you could still somehow get Richards or someone like that, I would prefer that.
I think, I mean, clearly he's the third center. Mamu, I think they consider their backup center, you know, but
sure. Yeah. I guess that's
all right. Let's. So, all right. With Looney now on the roster, and the work that they still have to do on, you know, their starting power forward. Let's say they don't get.
I don't know why that was just funny the way you just presented that. This massive move that they just made with Kevon Looney.
Yeah. Well, because that was one of my like worst case scenarios was Looney, to be completely honest, because I just think it's so like uninspiring. But let's say, like, so with Looney now on the roster and given that they still have to work on whether it's PJ Washington, Derek Jones Jr. or Jonathan Kuminga, let's say they don't get any of those guys. And this is kind of sort of the roster from here on out. How would you grade the summer from there, from that standpoint?
So this is with them getting Kuminga?
Not getting Kuminga.
No,
like
no
we're,
Kuminga.
So we're talking about just, like worst case scenario.
Okay. I guess I'm kind of at my starting point of like a B-ish. With again that heavily weighted by Kessler, I guess depending on who the signings are. Like, I don't love the Looney signing as a backup. I would have preferred a more athletic option. So already that's like got me teetering at, I don't know if I was at like an 85% B. I'm maybe at like an 84%, 83.5% right now. I'm not a big Looney guy, but yeah, I'd still go B just because I think one of my big thoughts with the entire offseason was just that there was no way the Lakers walk out of this offseason with a roster that's on paper on par with OKC or San Antonio. At best, you're trying to shrink that gap as best you can, but like you're not going to be on par with them. You're still going to be like a puncher's chance, massive underdog in any series against either one of those teams. So can you get that foundational piece that's like a long-term part with Luka and Austin and really complements them? I think they did that with Kessler. Now, again, rest of the rosters, you know, don't love the players as they're currently slotted and don't love the players with their contracts, but all things being equal, like if they get slotted in the right role, I do see the vision with that. So I would say B, maybe that's a little optimistic for some might go B minus, C plus, whatever, but For me, again, I want to be clear that like Kessler is carrying a massive part of this grade, and the other guys to me are kind of weighing it down a bit.
Yeah, I would say I would have it as a C right now, maybe even a C minus, because like and this is the worst case scenario, right? So this is the floor from here on out is a C minus off season, and I think there's still like going to walk away with one of those power forwards. We'll just see which one, what it costs, the machinations of it. So don't get angry at me. I'm just, you know, the chat. I'm just saying how I feel about the offseason right now to this point, if this is indeed the entirety of the offseason. I'm really nervous. Especially also with Looney too. Like, I'm really nervous about the athleticism deficiency. Like, one of the things I really wanted them to improve on this year was becoming more collectively athletic. And I don't think they did. Now, again, we need to see who that power forward is, who that fourth starter is or whatever. But like, I don't love that, you know, the best athlete in your starting group is Quentin Grimes probably. And, you know, you don't really have a true plus athlete in your rotation until you get to Jared Vanderbilt, who is oftentimes out of the rotation. So I guess we'll see to what extent Cameron Carr plays this year, and we'll see how often Adu Thiro is able to play this year. But they got younger, that's for sure. And they got bigger by way of Walker Kessler, but they didn't, they might've taken a step back athletically. So that makes me nervous. Would you agree about losing LeBron?
Yeah, losing LeBron and Jackson. I think the front court is definitely less athletic. The back court is probably more athletic, because I would say Grimes and Sexton are collectively more athletic than Smart or Kennard. So yeah, I think mm-hmm. like that's.